Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
This is the Missing Secret podcast, and I'm John Mitchell. And the beautiful and talented Kelly Hatfield is off this week as she's moving into her dream home on the ocean in Seattle. But you know, this gives us a great opportunity to bring a special guest, someone that came to me, I don't know, about a year ago and wanted to learn Think It Be It. And his name is Steve Pendergrast. And so the topic today is a paying customer's perspective. So I'm going to let Steve tell his story. So Steve, welcome.
Thank you, John. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. And yeah, you like you mentioned, it's been just about a year. I looked back and I saw we've just eclipsed the 1 year mark. That very first email that I sent you was October 3rd last year.
Oh, was it really? Well, that's interesting. So tell everybody your story and what made you interested in Think It Be It.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of rewind the clock a little bit from that 1 year mark a year ago and build my way up to that, so to speak. So, you know, following college, I did ROT, well, in college, I did ROTC. So afterwards, I had joined the Navy and I was a submarine officer for 7 years. Went to Notre Dame for undergrad and studied aerospace engineering. And based off it, put me on a submarine while Plexus. Nonetheless, it was an awesome experience, probably a tale for another time. But at the end of that 7 years that I did in the Navy, my last 2 years, I spent teaching leadership to junior officers right before they were about to go to their first submarines. And so it was an amazing opportunity for me to be able to teach them from the experience that I had just had, all the mistakes and challenges that I had made and faced. And that was probably the most fulfilling 2 years of my entire life, let alone professional career, to that point and to date as well. And I really wanted to go back into teaching right after I got out of the Navy, but I ended up, for my wife's career, we ended up moving to Northern California. I landed in tech sales because I needed to make money in order for us to afford to live there with a growing family. And that's where I have been for the last 6 years. And there were some pretty high highs, none quite as high as the absolute fire that I felt in my belly while I was teaching. But the lows were very low as well. And most of all, I really didn't like who I started to become towards the end of my time in corporate America. And it kind of became clear to me around early 2023 that I needed to make a change, but I didn't really know what kind of change that was. And, you know, there were a lot of challenges that I was facing at the time, just struggles that I was having, but you could have found me 1 year ago, you know, last September, you could have found me sitting on the couch at night, scrolling on my phone, even though I knew it's not what I should have been doing.
Right.
And you would have seen, you know, even though I didn't really like my career and where it was going, I still felt like my kids and my family were a burden to whatever success I was trying to strive for in that part of my life.
And crushing it too. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, but you know, the numbers are one thing, you know, in terms of my success as other people would measure them, but it didn't feel that way to me on the inside. I knew that I was leaving a lot on the table, not just in terms of my performance, but in terms of, you know, my zest for life. And it just didn't feel like I thought that it should have felt. And I guess one of the biggest struggles that I had looking back on it was that I felt like I wasn't in control. It was like I was, and actually, this is a good time. I went back to that very first email I sent you, and I found one of the quotes that I had shared. And I think this is an interesting point that I made. I said, I now know that the playbook that I was given by my family was good for avoiding common pitfalls, but I need a new playbook and a mentor to guide me through to achieve the success that I know is possible. And so even then, I had known and I recognized that I was kind of living life on autopilot. And the playbook, as I said, that I was following all these things that I had been conditioned to believe over my life to that point had gotten me to where I was, which I was grateful for, but it was heading me in a direction that I didn't want to continue in. And I wasn't sure exactly how to pivot because I felt very acutely that I was just on autopilot. And I wasn't sure how to right the ship, so to speak. And so through a series of fortuitous events, I ended up listening to a podcast that you were on. You were a guest on a separate podcast completely. And when I heard you say the fact that you reiterate so often on this podcast, I heard you say 95% of your thoughts and actions are unconscious. I literally, that gives me goosebumps even thinking back on that moment, because I can remember exactly where I was when I heard it. It stopped me in my tracks while I was on a run. And it just all hit me like a ton of bricks that, of course, I feel like I'm not in control. You say it all the time on your podcast now, right? If I'm not doing anything to impact my subconscious, then I'm leaving 95% on the table. And that's very much how I felt. It resonated so strongly with me. I got home and I sent you an email right away. I looked you up. I found your website. And I was like, I just have to reach out to this guy. Even though looking at your website, I didn't technically qualify and meet your requirements. I was like, I'm gonna do everything that I can to get on this guy's radar.
Right. Wow, I didn't know that, or I didn't remember that. But you know, to me, what you just said is ideal, because as you know, the turning point for me when I was reading Think and Grow Rich is that 95% of your daily thoughts and actions are unconscious. And you know, it's so simple for a logical thinking person like myself and probably you that, you know, if your daily actions determine your success, and 95% of them are unconscious. I mean, connect the dots. You got to gain control over those unconscious daily actions. And I see that virtually 100% of my clients over the years have told me, they say, you know, I just always felt there was more in the tank, that I couldn't understand why I couldn't get my results to reflect my efforts and my level of intelligence and which is exactly the story you just told. And so, yeah, that is cool. And, you know, it brings up the other point that I see. I've been teaching this core Timmy to my class, but the last two classes, yeah, I started back in late August teaching this class of athletes primarily at the University of Texas. And for the first 14 classes, it's sort of laying the foundation, but now we're teaching them core tibby. And, you know, I tell them, there's a big domino that will fall. When it falls, everything I'm going to say to you is going to make sense. Before it falls, not so much. And the big domino for both you and me is 95% of your daily thoughts and actions are unconscious, because once you really think about that, it changes everything. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I love that you used a minute ago, you used the phrase connecting the dots, because I think many people probably have heard some version of that before, or they've heard phrases like you probably called out from Think and Grow Rich, or they've heard Earl Nightingale say things like, you become what you think. They'd heard some version of it before, but for me, that day, that time, that dot connected for me for the first time. It was like it was there all along, and all of a sudden it snapped into place, like finding the last piece of a puzzle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like so painfully obvious now in retrospect, and I don't know how I missed it, but you and I have talked about this before. There is an element that we don't have control of here so much, which is that it'll hit you when you're ready. And I've thought about that a lot. And I don't know what makes a person ready. And it doesn't, but I do know it has nothing to do with your age, has nothing to do with your current or perceived level of success. It's something psychologically that prepares you for a change, something new, making a trade what you've had in the past for what you want and you know is possible from the future. And I don't know when or how it happens. I would love to uncover that mystery, but I know that a lot of your listeners probably feel like they're ready. And a lot of those 2% out there, like we've talked about before, they're ready. We just had to get the message to them.
Well, I tell you, I love our listeners. I really, really do. You know, they're my tribe. I don't have to sell them. Like, you know, they already get it and they understand it. You know, I know what you mean. I get that. And, you know, from my perspective about you coming into my world a year ago, all of a sudden I get this email from this guy I don't know, and he's sort of into what I'm teaching. And of course, I like it. And so we correspond. And I remember I told you, well, you know, if you're really serious about this, get your happy ass on a plane and fly to Austin and bring your checkbook, and I'm going to charge you $20,000, and I'll teach it to you if you and I hit it off and it's a fit, and I'll teach it over like 6 or 8 weeks. And so, you know, I do that because I only want to deal with people that are really serious about it. And so you do just what you said you're going to do. You write the check for 20 grand. We start that process, and I can tell that you're sort of the ideal client. You're absorbing it all. Yeah, that was cool for me to see, because, you know, everybody I teach this to, as you would know, I become great friends with. I mean, how could you not? We're doing life in the same way. And you know, that's what I was telling my class, I guess it was yesterday. You know, what I feel like I bring to the table in the success business is an actual way of doing life. Because in the success business, there's all sorts of people that are brilliant, that have great strategies. But you know, at the end of the day, you don't need another great strategy. You need an actual way of doing life that allows you to play at your full potential. And I don't see anything else in the success business that does that. Now, you know, you have people that talk about meditation, that you need to do meditation, or you need to do affirmations, or you need to do journaling. And if you remember a few years ago, the Morning Miracle, which, you know, sold billions, was a combination of all that plus throwing in exercise, and it all sort of took an hour in total. And I'm like, you know, it's good. It's certainly better than nothing, but it pales in comparison to, you know, feeding the succinct articulation of your life to yourself each day and taking 12 minutes a day versus an hour. You know, it's like radically better. But of course, I'm biased, but logically that seems true. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a couple of things I want to click on there. One, for your listeners here, is that when I first met you and you had said you got to come out here to Austin, bear in mind, we had just moved to North Carolina. My wife had just started a new job. We have 3 kids, and I frankly didn't have, we just bought a home here. I didn't know how I was going to come up with that 20 grand.
Right.
And I also didn't know how logistically I was going to make it work to come to Austin. But when you find something like this, you don't have any choice but to try to make it work. Like you made a point about there's so many strategies out there already. Everything's already out there. And there's 2 things I'd like to say about that. One is that's so true, and there's an advantage to that. Everything that we need to know already exists. We're not really creating anything new. We're just connecting the dots that are already out there. And we don't need any new strategies or top 10 tricks to do X, Y, Z. All we need to do is figure out a way to connect those dots for ourselves and apply them in our own lives. And how many times have we, you know, set a new intention, tried a new program, gone through a workshop or a seminar, and set all these new intentions for ourselves, only to find ourselves a week, a month later, having failed, and then feeling guilty. You end up back in the same place that you were before, but you've got this new layer of disappointment in yourself that you couldn't somehow make it through and do what you said you were going to do. And I think we all live with that for so long that you just get used to it. You think that there must not be another way.
Right.
So when I found you and your methodology, it became so clear to me, like, of course that never worked, because I was trying to rely on my willpower alone. I was trying to take my 5% and move the 95% in a direction you didn't want to go. You know, you talk about all the time how your 95% is, if your subconscious mind, it's wired for survival. It's pulling you back to the comfort zone, to the couch.
Right.
And when you take your 5%, your conscious mind, and you set an intention that pushes you outside of your comfort zone, and it pushes you away from comfort and from safety. If you're not doing anything to change the 95% to pull you in that direction, you're going to use the 5% to try and fight it. And, you know, our joint mentor, Darren Hardy, talks about this all the time. Any plan that relies on your willpower alone is doomed to fail.
Yeah, it's interesting that 98% of the world just uses their conscious mind to set their intentions, and off they go. And they're like, God, why do so few of my intentions turn into reality? It's simple, you know, because the doing part of you, the action taking part of you, is the subconscious mind. And if you're not programming it with repetition, those intentions are going to stay intentions. I mean, you know, how tough is that to understand? And I see that there's this constant dance between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind that is so cool to watch, because, you know, the conscious mind does all the heavy lifting. It's got to figure out your life. Like oftentimes, I've just given a speech Sunday on this. It's on you to figure out your life. Nobody's going to do it for you, you know, but you got to sit down and go, okay, who am I? Who do I want to be? What exactly do I want to accomplish? And how am I going to achieve my clearly defined goals? And so all that is conscious mind. And then you have to take that, once you establish it, now using the AI and algorithm, or makes it, you know, super simple to do that, then you feed it yourself every day, 12 minutes a day. That's the easy part. And, you know, now you're working both sides of your brain, and it's powerful, especially when you factor in that everybody around you is operating at 5% of their capacity. I was telling my clients this couldn't be any better news, because you're at such an advantage. You agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. This biological fact, this 95% to 5%, is either your greatest struggle or your greatest opportunity. It's up until the point that for me at least, and for you as well, up until the point that you knew this fact, it was your biggest struggle. The 95% working against you the whole time, pulling you back. But once you learned it and you learn how to harness it, from that point forward, that's an inflection point in your life where all of a sudden you can see and you start to act and pull this 95% work for you. And it becomes your greatest gift, the greatest opportunity to separate yourself, is yourself to achieve the success that you know is possible.
Right. You know, I tell you, the thing that interested me with you when I first met you is, how old were you? 34?
I'm 34 now. Yeah. So I was 33 when you met.
Okay. And, you know, I'm sure I told you this. I'm like, most of the people that are doing my methodology are 40 and probably closer to 50, because it takes them that long to realize that the normal way of doing life just doesn't work. All that produces the average life, which obviously, you know, that's connecting the dots again. You know, if you're doing life like everybody else, of course you're going to get the average life, you know, and the way most people are doing life is they're just winging it. They just get up every day and open their eyes, and now they're, you know, innately wired to be fear-based and reacting because they're wired for survival. And they don't think twice about it. Off they go, and then they look up when they're 40 or 50, and they're like, wow, I don't like my life. I don't like myself, you know. So I was interested that you were smart enough to see it much earlier than like I did. You know, we begin the perspective of being 34 and getting this.
Yeah. Here to begin with that one. Here's what I think about it now. I think I had referenced that quote that I had sent you in that first email about the playbook being wrong. And I think that that's a big part of the problem. I think we're raised in a society where, you know, hard work is the pinnacle of, you know, all of all of your virtues. And when you're raised in a world and you have this belief system that you can separate yourself from others, you can have whatever you want in your life as long as you work harder than the guy next to you.
Yeah.
At least that's how I was raised. And I feel like that's a big part of the American, you know, part of our society. And we pride ourselves in that. And in reflecting on it, I think it's the pride in hard work that sets us up for the big fall. We feel like when you get out of college, you're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to figure it out on your own. You're supposed to forge your own path. That's how we are wired. You feel like that's enough. You feel like by doing that, you are separating yourself from everybody else. And it's a lie. It's maybe the biggest lie we've been told. And I think in many ways, you have to learn that lesson for yourself in whatever amount of time that it takes. You know, for you, you had talked about when we first met that hard work doesn't work. And you spent, you know, 20, 30 years working hard at various different businesses. And eventually you realize, oh, crap, hard work is not the answer.
Right.
And for me, I don't know why. I don't know what made it, like I said before, I don't know what made me ready for it at the time. But I just realized really quickly that what I was doing in the Navy, that didn't work. And then I tried laying in corporate America. Now, this is, for me, it didn't feel like a short timeline. I was in the Navy for 7 years. And I was in corporate America for 6 full years. I'm trying and it's working kind of. I am doing well relative to my peers, but I'm not doing well relative to the standard I have for myself. And just your message just couldn't hit me at a better time. And I feel very blessed that it happened what it did, because I could have been ready for a decade or 15 years before I heard of you or may have never even heard of you. And I hate to think what I would have felt if I were still in that same mindset that I was a year ago, if I had never found you, I never learned this, that domino had never fallen. I imagine very much that's what many people feel when they get into 40s or 50s. Like, they probably start to have a sense of a problem much earlier, and then they live with this feeling of, like, just staring at a puzzle that has one piece missing. And it's like, if only, that's why people constantly feel the need to search for a missing secret. Clear, they're missing something, they just don't know what it is or where to look for it.
Yeah. Funny how the most obvious place to look for it would be the World on Success by Baker Dent.
Exactly.
You know.
But it doesn't occur to people. It's isn't it interesting that, you know, what you came to in your early 50s, just look at the most obvious place.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? We make it harder on ourselves than we have to. Again, that hard work. I must be missing. I got to search. I got to go find. I got to uncover something new, something not. But, you know, it's staring you right in the face.
Well, this idea of working smarter, not harder, you know, I think it's almost a cliche in society today, and it certainly makes sense. But it's like, but how? How?
Yeah.
And back to, this is a way of doing life. It's the way to work smarter, not harder way. And,
exactly.
You know, one of the things I sort of see today, I'd love your opinion about this, is that we live in such a shallow thinking culture of being driven primarily because of social media and it's sort of this flick through culture that people hear all sorts of things like work smarter, not harder, and you're wired for survival. And it sort of goes in one ear, out the other, when in fact, it's so profound when you really think about it. And you know, the thing I'd like your opinion about that I've sort of seen is that I will say to people, and again, I just went through this in depth with my class, is that you're wired for survival. And so that causes 75% of your thoughts to be fear-based and you're reactive rather than proactive on your important agenda. And I say that, And it goes in one ear and maybe out the other. And I see that until they see the impact on their life, not just it's a theory, they're not going to really get it. And so I'm sort of curious, do you agree with that they got to see how it impacts their life? And the second part of that question is how did you see that being wired for survival was impacting your lives?
Yeah, the dots definitely have to connect, and that's a very personal experience. Now, you've said it many times before, or to me and on the podcast, that it's difficult in a world of such clutter. There's so much information and so much noise out there. It's really difficult to distinguish the profound from the mundane.
Yeah.
And even for me, like I had read and listened to Thinking Grow Rich before, years ago. I think you had as well.
Yeah.
And it, you know, 30 or 40s, I think. And I got left feeling like I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how to apply that book to my life. It's very interesting. There was a lot of goodness in it, but I had no system for applying it. And a lot of the things that he said just didn't hit me. The dots didn't connect. They were there, but I didn't know how to pull them into my own life. So how the dots connected for me on the being wired for survival, I think I said at the beginning of the podcast that a year ago, you could have found me on the couch. And I never questioned that. I knew it wasn't the right thing to do, but I never questioned why am I stuck here? Specifically on the couch. The couch is an interesting metaphor for just finding yourself somewhere that's comfortable and safe. And yeah. So yeah. When you started talking about being wired for survival and the fact that, you know, we have this out-of-date programming, a lot of dots connected for me all at once. It explained for me why I would prefer to be on the couch and not on the treadmill, even though I knew logically that I should go for a run, or I should go lift weights, or I should get my hand out of the bag of chips in the pantry. It was like, okay, if we're wired from a biological perspective, from an evolutionary perspective, we're wired to survive. My body is, of course, going to want to take in extra calories in case I might not get to eat again for 2 months. And of course, I'm going to want to sit on the couch just in case I have to be well rested, and just in case I have to go fight a saber-toothed tiger.
Right.
Now, up until I had heard you and learned all this methodology, I had to forgive myself for not knowing, I didn't have an excuse anymore. It was like, okay, I didn't know before. I didn't know that I was wired for survival. I was on autopilot in ways that I didn't even fully understand up until that point.
So you didn't know that you were wired for survival?
I'm sure I had known it, but the dot was not connected. I had heard it, but it didn't occur to me that I was sitting on the couch because of that fact. It didn't occur to me that it was overeating because of that fact.
So you intellectually understood it, but you didn't really emotionally see how it affected your life until then.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, that's probably true. But like you said, it's difficult. You have to connect the dots for yourself and in your own way. And you have to really give yourself the space and time to think about those things. And you and I are cut from the same cloth. We're both very intellectual people. And so doing the thought exercise of how might be interesting for your students even to ponder the question, how is that showing up in their lives right now? The fact that they're wired for survival. What fears do they have? What behaviors do they not like that they want to get rid of? How many of those can be linked back to this idea that you're wired for survival and that this 95% is drawing you back away from your goals, right?
Right. It brings up that point. You know, I'm always saying, well, you know, is your being wired for survival causes you to be fear-based or reactive, and that's how you're operating when you open your eyes each morning. But you brought up probably an even bigger issue. You're wired to avoid change. You know, that being wired for survival is wiring you to avoid change and be comfortable and be lazy. Yeah, we're wired to be lazy. I'm lazy. You're lazy. You know, and if you do nothing but program it, that laziness, you know, rules your life largely.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a powerful, I'm an engineer, so I'll use a physics term here. There's a powerful inertia to this comfort zone that we get pushed into by our 95%, by this programming, by this autopilot, where you get stuck there. And I feel like a lot of people feel stuck and they're not sure how to get unstuck or what that really means. And it's all because of this. You're stuck because you're literally, your body and your mind are resisting any potential change, anything that pushes you outside of that comfort zone. It creates all sorts of fears and limiting beliefs of what might happen if you step outside the cave, right?
Yeah, right. You know, and maybe you're answering it now, but what do you think the biggest challenge for people is today in terms of embracing this methodology?
Yeah, I think it was last week's episode where you talked about when you were teaching your students, you had a guest visitor and they were talking about this fear, this feeling of not being not enough, not good enough.
Right.
And I think that that is the core human challenge. And you know, I have young kids and we just had our fourth baby over the summer and we named her Riley after the movie Inside Out, the main character in that movie. Mm-hmm. And for those who have seen the movie Inside Out 2, the core problem that she faces in that movie is that she has this, she ultimately lands with this feeling of not being good enough. I thought that was so perfect. That was the absolute core problem that all of us, I think, face at one point or another, where we just feel like if we take a chance, we take a risk, and we step outside our comfort zone and really push ourselves to really go for what we think is possible, we get pulled back by this fear that we may fail. And our relationship with failure is really at the heart of it all. That's, I think the biggest challenge. And as it relates to embracing this methodology, I think that people are afraid of their own success just as much as they're afraid of failure. They're afraid that if they were to try something like this, which they probably in their minds tried other systems, tried other strategies in the past, and they maybe may or may not have worked. This one felt very different to me. And I just believe right from the get-go that it was just what I was missing. But this fear that you may try something new and fail, I mean, what have you got to lose to try something like this? You know, what are you really afraid of? Is that belief that you're not good enough, is that serving you? Is that sending you the direction that you want to go? Because if it's not, you could change it. You could pick a different belief and try.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just telling my class yesterday, I said, you know, they're now, they all went on the website and have started to download their template and all that. And as I open the class, I always do about 5 minutes, whatever is in my hand. And I'm like, you know, I'm sure some of you think, God, John is so programmed and I don't want to be that structure. And I get that. And you know, I told them, I said, you know, here's what's interesting. I would say that I'm more in the moment than most people because there is no clutter in my head. I know exactly the person I want to be, and I know what I want to accomplish and how I'm going to do it. And I'm just clear, and there's no clutter in my head. And so many people have said, and you may have felt this way too, you just feel lighter as you're doing life. And we'll see if they buy it. And, you know, I'm realistic to know that, you know, half of the class is totally into it. And I'm totally into it. And then there's probably a quarter of the class that's on the fence. And then there's a quarter that's not into it. And that's all fine because they're a microcosm of the world, basically. And so, but I think that's how it breaks out. And you know, one thing I'd like to ask you about that is near and dear to both of us is Darren Hardy. And, you know, I told the story of deciding, you know, 6 years ago, go find the top expert in the world on success and show him what I created. And so I write a big check. I fly to La Jolla, spend, you know, a couple of days with him. I bring the ginge and we show him the template. And he says, you know, this is really good, but people are going to spend 12 minutes a day on this because for 98% of people, more success is merely a preference. And he says, you need to just show this to people that are driven. And, you know, that was so, you know, disappointing and accurate at the same time. And, you know, now, I don't know that you and I talked about this, but Darren Hardy is brilliant. And he does this daily video that's about 5 minutes long, and always on some pertinent talk and topic about success. And it's perfect for my class because I can show them the 5 minute video, and then I can go deep. He's laid the foundation for it. And almost every class or every other class, I'm showing them a video. And I know I turned you on to Darren Hardy. Tell about your experience with Darren.
Yeah, until I had met you, I don't know as I even knew Darren Hardy existed. Earlier this year, you know, when we were going through, I guess it was when we were going through building my own visualization, that we got to the point where we talked about building a system for growth and being intentional about the growth material that you're bringing into your life and targeting it at your goals, which was, again, how obvious is that? But something that I hadn't really taken the time to really think through in the past. And I had read lots of books. I mean, you can see behind my head right now, I've got loads of books on the shelf. I'm a big Audible listener. I've got hundreds of books in my Audible library. I got through many different programs before and, you know, never really applied many of them because it was random. There was no intelligent plan for what specific growth material I was taking in. And you had suggested to get more in the Darren Hardy universe. Yeah, I started watching the Darren Daily episodes, which are free, and highly recommend for anybody listening to this that you go and sign up for that as well. Yeah, just 5 minutes a day. And I use that as part of my morning routine, so to speak, as well, right along with listening to my visualization. The thing that Darren does incredibly well, and this is a byproduct of the time that he has spent in the success field, is he has so many stories from various people that he has interviewed or interacted with over his life, and that he's learned on his own growth journey from his mentor, Jim Rohn, who I know you and I both also love. And he's really great at picking a specific topic and finding the relevant stories and examples to pull in to kind of help people see themselves in the story, so to speak. Yeah, since meeting and getting introduced into the Darren Hardy universe, so to speak, I've gone to some of his master classes and I've been very involved in his community as well. So much good learning in his world. And one of the things that he teaches, which I really agree with, is when you find someone that you resonate with, it could be a different person for everybody. You know, Darren Hardy might not have been my cup of tea, and that would have been okay. But when you find someone, it's like you spend a lot of time digging these shallow bowls, doing the shallow thinking, finding these different things. And when you find someone, kind of like when I found you, I had to find what was beneath the surface. I couldn't just have that shallow hole stay there. I had to dig a deep hole and go all the way to the bottom and find what was at the bottom of that well. And Darren is very much the same way for me. And you listen to a lot of podcasts, read a lot of books, but when you find one that you really love, go deep and learn as much as you can. He's got so much great material, so many great courses that people inside of his group, myself included, take multiple times, because every time you listen to it, every time you go through the program, you're a different person, and therefore you hear different things. Yeah. The challenges that you're facing that day are different. I often go back and listen to old podcasts of yours that hit me one way, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go back and revisit that one, and I'll listen to it again, because I'm just wondering what I might get the next time around.
Right.
Oh,
well, you know, so tell us where you're taking this, and let me set this up a little. You know, when I taught it to you, I'm like, okay, and you know, you were on the verge of netting $1 million a year, and so you were crushing it, but you saw so much more, and I'm like, okay, let's really apply this. But then you and I both sort of realize that once you really, really, really get into this, you have no choice but to teach it. Would you sort of say where you're going with what you've learned?
Yeah, I think it's important background for people to know that, you know, when I first met you, I had no inkling of what I wanted to do. I knew that I had a call to teach, but I also had some money trash about the fact that I couldn't really become a teacher. It was that all I was destined for, just to become a teacher in a, you know, bureaucratic school system. That's a topic for another time. But
right.
When we first met, the initial versions of my visualization were geared at figuring out what I was going to do. And we tried a couple of different avenues. We looked at real estate. I looked at digital marketing and various avenues that I might be able to try outside of corporate America. And I don't know when it occurred to either of us, but at one point, I just decided I need to build a business around teaching Think and Be It to others. This just, it struck such a cosmic chord with me. It just felt so important to me. And it felt, you know, in our early conversations, I was just so adamant that this needed to be shared with the world as broadly as possible. And I hadn't yet experienced banging my head against the wall trying to teach it to people like you had. And so that's what I had endeavored to do. This past spring, I started a small online course with some colleagues and friends of mine, and thought they could be to them. And it was a great experience for me, hopefully for them too. And I learned a lot from that. And then the natural next evolution of this for me is to shift from an online course mentorship model to a more of a workshop style model. And I've got a workshop in the works right now. Right now it's set for December 6th. The goal of the workshop is really going to be to give people some more practical steps that they can take to apply your methodology. And, you know, like I had said before, all of the existing growth material that's already out there, you know, we don't need to reinvent anything. What we really need is a system. This like GPS template that you've created is the perfect system to take what we learn and apply it. And you carry it with you. And the metaphor that I would give here is that even an aircraft is off of course 99% of the time, but it needs that GPS to correct it, to get it back on course over the core, you know, as it's flying across the country, around the world, wherever it might be. And that's just a perfect metaphor for our lives, where you might start in Los Angeles and aim for New York, but if you're not keeping track, trying to keep yourself on course, if you don't have this GPS pulling you back, you're going to land in a completely different continent, yeah, let alone the city you were aiming for. And this, it's a perfect name, this life GPS template. That's what keeps you on course. And how often should you be checking back in with your GPS if you're on a lifelong journey? Once a year? Out of 2 years? No, you need to be doing it every day. Yep. Otherwise, you're going to drift. You're going to drift off course. And so the goal of the workshop will be to take what you've done, apply your algorithm, help people to get these GPS templates, but really get them fine-tuned and figure out how they can apply them in their own life so they don't drift away.
Right. Well, I'm honored you're doing that. I'm 100% supportive of it. And so this would be great. I want you to come back again. This went so well, and you know, you bring another perspective to it than that Kelly and I don't bring. So, Steve, thank you for appearing today.
Thank you, John. I'd love nothing more.
Okay. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute-a-day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for our free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich, and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.